We're starting here on the top of Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. In our mission, we had a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about who the burden of proof was on. Rabbi Meir saying that the burden of proof was on the individual to show that he was a Shechem Meira. And the Chachamim said that Amotim Chaveru Alav Haraya. So the Gemara wants to know, okay, once we establish that there has to be proof right here, Raya B'mai. What is the proof? What type of evidence can you bring here, whether the person was a Shechem Meira or whether it was a Bari? So Rav Huna Amar Raya Ba'edim. You need witnesses to come and testify to the fact that this individual was a Shechem Meira at that point, or this person was a Bari at that point. V'chista V'rabba Rav Huna Amar Raya B'kiyum HaShtar. The Raya is through being Mikayim the Shtar, through validation of the Shtar. Rav Huna Amar Raya Ba'edim Kamif Ligei B'plukta D'Rabbi Yoko V'Rabbi Noton. So the Rav Huna says that the Raya here is an issue of Edim. You have to bring evidence. And the Machlokas in the Mishnah is identical to the Machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Meir ki Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Natan, which we saw yesterday goes Batar Hashkaz Linan. We go after what we currently see or what was in front of us, the evidence that is in front of us. If he's a Bari now, then we say to him, please bring a proof that you were once a Shechem Meira. If he's a Shechem Meira right now, we say, please bring a proof that you were a, that he was a Bari when he gifted it to those recipients who want to keep it now. So Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Natan. Rabbanon are like Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov who says we go after the Chazakah. The Chazakah, yesterday's daf, we had the, he had either a Chezkat, Kashrut, or he had a, Chazakah of holding onto the possessions. So in all these cases, we say, Amotzi mechavero lavaraya, whoever wants to change the status quo and wants to change the chazakah that exists, they've got to bring the proof. So to over here, the Rabbonon say, you have to bring the proof. If you want to remove the recipients, want to remove the monies from the one who's muhzak, from the grantor, they're going to have to bring a raya. So that's according to Rav Huna, who says that the raya that demanded by Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah is Edim. Rav Chisda, Rabbi Rav Huna, Amrei Raya, B'makom Shtar Kamiflegei, that they argue about a shtar over here, but what does that mean? A shtar that has signatures on it, and now we have signatures on the shtar, do you have to mekayem the shtar? Do you have to validate the shtar in order for it to have tokef, in order for it to be useful, or not? So that's what the Remeir said, if a person admits that he wrote a shtar, and he says, yes, this is my handwriting, this is the shtar, this is my obligation, he doesn't have to, the malveh here, the creditor or the recipient does not need to validate the shtar. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe, Rabbanan Sarvi Modi Bishtar Shekadvo Tzarich Lekaimo, that a person who has a shtar, even if the borrower, or even if the party who is being obligated or even admits to the writing of the shtar, nevertheless, you still have to be mekayim the shtar. So first of all, we have to separate over here. That number one, let's say that everybody, kuli alma boter hashto, everybody agrees now that boter hashto is lenin, that we paskin like Rabbi Natan, that we go after what's in front of us, the status quo, and like Rabba and Rabbi Natan that we've seen before. Now, the Raya of Rabbi Meir certainly has to be with Edim still. Even according to Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rav Huna say that the Raya here is a Shtar, that's only according to the Chachamim. The Chachamim require a Raya, and their Raya is that even when you admit to have written the Shtar, you still have to bring evidence that the Shtar is valid. So that's what the evidence is over here, the Mimikayim the Shtar. That is not true for Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir believes that you do not have to Mimikayim the Shtar. The Shtar itself is a valid Shtar just because he admits to having the Shtar. So therefore you need a Raya. If Rabbi Meir demands Raya in the Mishnah, then he means Raya of Edim, because the Shtar itself is valid from the beginning. So even according to Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rav Huna, Rav Meir is still going to say that the Machlokas, still say here that the Raya or the evidence that you need is a Raya of Edim. Whereas the Chachamim over here are going to say that the Raya needed is a Raya of a Shtar. So you have to be Mikayim the Shtar. Because Rabbi Meir believes that Shtam Sharot, a Stam Shtar is Kasher. And we don't stay in a Shtar that a Pesha Asur, who a Pesha Hatir, a Poslo, in order to ruin it. And therefore, he has to bring a raya be'idim that he was a Shechem Meira. That's what Rabbi Meir says. You have to bring a raya that you're Shechem Meira, because even though we have evidence, or even though the one of the parties admits that the other party wrote the shtar, or we have evidence that the shtar existed. Nevertheless, we can't, even if the person admits it, to obligate himself to have the shtar, that doesn't change the fact that the shtar doesn't tell us when or how the gift was granted, and therefore you're going to need edim to direct that. Just because you admit you wrote the shtar doesn't give you the right to tell us what the shtar was about. So over here, the grantor, who's obligating himself by saying, yes, the shtar, I did write it, I was involved with the shtar, that doesn't necessarily give him the right to say then, well, the shtar was written as a shchemira, because then we could say, pesha asur, hua pesha itir. He's the one admitting and giving strength to the shtar, therefore he should also be able to tell us when it's happening. Say, no, the shtar is mekuyam because it has edim signed on it. It's a good shtar. It's a good shtar. We don't really even need this individual to tell us the shtar. He admits it, so it gives us strength, but that doesn't mean that the shtar only exists because of him. The shtar exists. So his saying shchemirat is not going to be maleh and we'll read from the shtar, and therefore he'll need edim. On the other hand, the chachamim believe, no, that a pesha asur, a pesha itir, the reason that this shtar is good and valid now is because he's admitting that he wrote the shtar. Once he admits he wrote the shtar, he can also tell us how the shtar is being, how the shtar was written. Because without him saying that the shtar is a good shtar, we would not allow the shtar to be used as a valid document to extract funds. So since they have to mekayim the shtar, and the way that the shtar is becoming mekuyam is through the admission of the individual who authored the shtar. So since he's the one who's giving the validation to the shtar, he's also the one who can tell us what the shtar was about. Because without him, the shtar is not valid. So with him, the shtar is valid. If he's the only one that makes the shtar valid, then he can also tell us how the shtar became valid. And he can say, by the time it was a shchemira. So that is the chachamim. So they're arguing over here. The chachamim say, bring proof that the shtar is a good shtar. Because if you don't bring proof that the good shtar is a good shtar, then the admission of the grantor that he wrote the shtar is not going to help you. Because he also says that it's a shchemira shtar. And so that won't be enough. You're going to need outside evidence that the shtar is a valid shtar. And then whatever he says will be irrelevant. And then you can collect with the shtar. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir says the shtar is valid even without his admission. Since his admission makes the shtar is valid, and it would have been no problem whatsoever. Therefore, when he comes along and says that it's a shchemira shtar, we don't have to worry about what he's saying anymore. Because the shtar, if he admits to the shtar and says that it's a good shtar, then you don't have to be mekayemet anymore. You don't have to go out and get a third party. His admission is enough to make it into a good shtar. And his admission of making it into a good shtar is that's it. He doesn't have a right then to upend or to ruin the shtar. So that's the machlokas in our Mishnah according to Rav Chis, the Rabbi of Ahuna. The Gemara says, what do I need our Mishnah to tell us about this machlokas, about when the party who is obligated, when he admits to writing the shtar, that then there's a machlokas about whether you need to validate it by outside concerns or not. They are not able to ruin the shtar. That is the words of Rabbi Meir. They are ne'eman to ruin the shtar. And what are we talking about here? We are talking about a case here where edim come along, and the edim say, yes, we did sign on the shtar, but when we signed on the shtar, we were under duress. When we signed on the shtar, we were ketanim. Somehow we were psulei edut when we came and signed on the shtar. So the edim come along and say, listen, these are our signatures, you're right. But when we signed on it, we was no good. So then we have, Rabbi Meir says, einam nim l'poslo. They don't have the right to be posel the shtar. They tell us that their signatures are good. Fine, that's it. The shtar stands alone, the shtar is good. But they want to tell us now that they're poslim, that they weren't good. They don't have a right to do that. They signed on the shtar. But on the other hand, the chachamim say, you know, that if the edim come along and say that that's our signatures, but the shtar was pasul because we were invalid witnesses, then we believe them. Why? Because the only reason that the shtar is kasher now is because the edim are telling us that they signed on it. So there's a pesha asur, hua pesha itir. They're the ones saying, yes, it's a good shtar, so they can tell us how they signed on it. If they tell us that it was pasul when they signed on it, it's pasul. They tell us it was kasher, then it's kasher. Because we need these edim to validate the shtar. So you see again that Rabbi Meir believes you do not say pesha asur, pesha etir by a shtar for these edim. And he said it before, again, by the grantor. And then again, the chamim say by edim that pesha asur, pesha etir, if they're the ones telling us about their signatures, they're always also the ones who can tell us about whether they were valid or not. Same thing before, the grantor, if he's the one that's validating the document in order to make it into a shtar, then he can also tell us what was the context in which the shtar was written. So why do we need two times, a braisa to have them argue, and also our mishnah to have them argue about the same point? It says, tricha, we need both of them. Why do we need both of them? Because, di itmar bahahi, if we only had it in this case, which is the case over here in the Braisa. Why? The Edim are essential to the Shtar. The Edim are the ones that give validity to the Shtar. They're the ones who signed on the Shtar. And they're undermining the validity of the Shtar. So over there, the Rabbanan might say, listen, if they do that, the Shtar is Pasul, and they are Neman. Avahocha, in our case, over here in our Mishnah, oh, Achahu delo kalkav kaminei. Right. Hey, Malo, maybe they would say not. Meaning, where does this guy come off? The grantor have a right to come off and invalidate the shtar. It's one thing if the edim, who give tokef, who give validity to the shtar, come along and say that the shtar was a problematic shtar. Fine, so over there you're talking about the edim themselves, so they can ruin the shtar. When you talk about one of the balei dvarim, when you're talking about one of the grantor over here, that the whole point of the shtar is to say that it becomes removed from the interests of the two parties, because here we have a document that evidences what happened. So also now he can come and ruin what the shtar says. So maybe Chami would agree to Rabbi Meir in that case. Right? Or maybe we can say it the other way. Right? Or Itmar Bahav, we only had the case between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in our Mishnah. Then Bahakam, our Rabbi Meir over there, Rabbi Meir would say that because the individual himself is trying to invalidate the shtar, we say don't believe him. Pesha Otzer, not Pesha Itir. But in a case where it's the Edim that are coming along, maybe, right, in our case, by the Braisa, where it's the Edim, he would agree to the Rabbanon's position that Pesha Otzer, Pesha Itir, because we're talking about Edim, we're not talking about one of the Balei Devarim. Tzrichos, that comes to teach us that it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether it's the Edim, doesn't matter whether it's the Baal Davar, the same machlokas exists between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir always believes that the shtar is valid, and if the party who's being obligated in the shtar admits that the shtar is a valid shtar, that's it, and he can't ruin it afterwards, he can't change it. The same thing with the Edim. If the Edim admit to have signed on the shtar, they can't come back later on and try to ruin what they did in the shtar, because we have a chazakah that lo nechtu to Israel to write false shtarim or to sign on false shtarot. So that's it, it's done. And Chamim in both those cases will say you need outside verification, because if the obligated party admits to it, then they're the ones who are validating the shtar. If they're validating the shtar, they can also tell us what type of shtar it was. Or they can say, listen, yes, it's a shtar, but I did it when it's a shkemiran. Same with the Edim. The Edim say we signed on it. Since they're the ones giving validity to the shtar, they can also tell us they signed on it when they were psulim. Okay, so now, b'chein amar Rabbo. Rabbo also says, raya be'edim, that a raya that needs to be brought here in our Mishnah, talking about Edim. My time. What's the reason that you have to bring Edim? So since you, why? What do you think that they have to bring Edim here? Because you think every other contract is written in it, that I was walking around in the shuk. I mean, we said this yesterday, that a shtar that's written by someone who's healthy, or a gift that's written by someone who's healthy, the language that's included is, when I was walking around my feet in the shuk, to indicate that he was healthy. On the other hand, right, when he's writes a Shtar Shchemeira, you write that when he was laying on his bed, when he was sick, laying on his deathbed, to indicate that it was a Shtar of Shchemeira. So Abaye comes along and says to Rava, what's your reasoning over here? If you want to say that the reason that we need a Edim over here, because the Shtar is somewhat questionable, because it's missing the crucial line of Kad Hama Alecha Rugalhi B'Shuka, it must be that he was a Shchemira, and therefore we got to bring evidence to the contrary. Says Adarava, Mikuluk Tibu, all Matnos Shchemira that are written in Katsir Varami Barsei, that when I was sick laying on my bed, Valuk Tibu, and that's also not included in our star. Shmamino, Bari Havis, then he concludes it's a Bari. Ika the Meimar the Hachi. So that's what Rabba's answer to Abaye is. Listen, you could say either way. Because it's not, there's no clear evidence in the shtar whether he's a matnat bari or he's a matnat shchemeira. So the shtar doesn't help us over here anymore. Once the shtar doesn't help us over here, then what do we say? Uki mamona b'chezkat marei. Leave the money where? With its original owner, with Marakamo. Who is the Marakamo? The one who's granting the gift. He's the one who's mukhzak in the property. You want to remove it for him? Amotzi mechavira alavaraya. Bring edim. That you want to remove it. The shtar no longer helps us here, because the shtar itself doesn't tell us any information that's helpful. It's missing the key or crucial information that would tell us whether it was a matnat bari or a matnat shchemeira. Uplukta de Rabbi Yochanan. Right, this machlok is over here that we have, whether the raya to be brought here is of edim or the raya is the shtar itself, is similar to machlokas we had between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The Rabbi Yochanan amar raya be'edim. Rabbi Yochanan says that the raya must be brought by edim. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar raya b'kiyum hashtar. That the evidence has to be right here is a kiyum hashtar. Eitve, Rabbi Yochanan, the Rishim ben Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenged Rabbi Yochim ben Lakish's position over here about the fact that you are mekayim it through hashtar, not through edim. Maase b'nei Brak. There was a case in b'nei Brak. It's always interesting to see the Rishbam say that's a makom, that's a place. Wasn't well known, I guess. Eretz Yisrael, we have the privilege to live today in Eretz Yisrael, where we know these places and it's well developed. But Maase b'nei Brak, that the Rishbam says is a place, that happened there, Bechad Shemachar b'nichsei Aviv, an individual who went and transacted in the estate, umate, and then passed away. Uba b'nei mishpacha, and other individuals in the family come along, who say, listen, v'iraru, and they go to the buyers of the property, and mark, katana yabashat mita. He was a minor. And since he was a minor, he had no right to transact in the estate. So they're coming along and trying to invalidate his actions with regards to the estate, the sales that he made on behalf of the estate, because he was a minor. They said, listen, you can't take it, he's a minor. Ubao b'shalu et Rabbi Akiva, Ramahu the Bodko. They came to Rabbi Akiva and said, look, he passed away. He's now dead and then probably buried somewhere. And they want to know if they can go and exhume the body to see if the individual was a katan or if he was a gadol. So Amar Lahen, he responds to the Yorshim, I atem rashim lenavlo. Number one, you're not allowed to be menavel him. You're not allowed to go ahead and exhume the body for the purpose of simply finding out whether he was a katan and gadol. Number two, simanim asim l'shenot achar mita. Number two, even if you do exhume the body and you're willing to be menavel him, that doesn't help you over here because simanim change after mita. Meaning that we don't know, even if what you see now is evidence to the case, nevertheless, we don't know if that was true before he passed away, because death has extreme effects on the body, and those effects can change what was there. Now, generally we say that that's true when you want to prove that somebody was not a gadol or something like that. We come along and we say, listen, how do you prove he's a gadol? How do you prove he's a katan? So, if he was a katan when he was young, how can you come along now and prove that he is a gadol? I mean, the other way around, if he's a gadol and you want to prove that he is a katan, then we can say, listen, just because you see that he doesn't have any shtei sarot, or just because you think something looks a certain way after death, doesn't mean that he wasn't a gadol when he was alive, because the body changed. But the other way around, how are you going to say that the body changed? I mean, that if he was really a katan, and you go along and look at the body, and now you say, oh, even though there's evidence that he's a gadol, that doesn't necessarily mean he's a gadol. How could you say such a thing? How could it be? I understand that if he had shtei sarot when he was alive, and then it fell off when he died, or severed when he died, or it looked a certain way when he was a gadol, and now he passes away and it looks like he's a katan. That we can understand, because gadol requires evidence, and then death can change that evidence. On the other hand, if he was really a katan, and now, what are you going to say? Something on the body makes him a gadol? How does he get simanim after mita? So that's what Tosfos discusses over here. The Rabbeinu Tam suggests it has to do with the color of the hair, that the hair was originally white, and then after death it blackened and became dark, and that white hairs would not be enough to make him into a bar mitzvah, whereas the black hairs would, and that's what happened after mita. The Tosfos takes issue with that because where do we ever find such a distinction of white hair versus black hair? That's a distinction in Mitzvah, but that's not a distinction in whether a person's a gadol or not. So the Ri explains that the cases that they're gumot, where the hair follicles go in, gumot might be sufficient to call him a gadol. You may not need the hair, you just may need the follicle or the gumot that they're called, where the hair goes out of, that might be enough to indicate he's a gadol. So that's what the Ri suggests, that he was a katan. They knew that he thought he was a katan, and then after death, all of a sudden they find his gumot, because that could change. The nature of the body could change, that those follicles came up after he died. So that would be a case where it would be nishtan after mita, even from being a katan to a gadol, okay, which is a difficult, somewhat difficult case. So they went to Rabbi Kiva to exhume the body to prove that he was that the AD over here want to prove that he was a gadol. So they wanted to, number one, exhume the body. Rabbi Kiva says, no exhuming of the body, not like Navel. And number two is, he says, even if you do exhume the body, you're not going to be able to prove that he was a gadol. Because even if he was a katan, something could have happened to make him into a gadol over here. So now, Rabbi Kiva says, Bishlama, that makes sense. The Didi, according to me, that means Raya Beidim, that we're talking about Eidim. Came in the Amar Lukuchot, Aiti Eidim. Rabbi Kiva says, bring Eidim. So v'lo ashbuchu, they couldn't find any dim. Haynu dekaatu v'amulei maldavot goes. Now they couldn't find any dim to prove their point. So they said, Rabbi Kiva, let's exhume the body. Right? That's why they came to say exhume the body, because they couldn't find any dim. Ella ledidach amar d'raya b'kiyum ashtar. You who say that the whole issue here is kiyum ashtar and being validating the shtar, lamaldavot go. What do they need to check the body for? The body doesn't do anything for us. The kaimu shtarayu v'luk mei b'nechsei. All they need to do is validate the shtar. If they validate the shtar, they can take the possessions over here. They can get what they want. Meaning that there's no reason to look at the body. The body itself is not going to help them in their situation. All they need to do is validate the shtar. Exhuming him is not going to validate the shtar. So why do you need to exhume the body? Why did they even reach the point where they wanted to exhume the body? So he says, back to Meshlokas, Misavat, Nichsei, Bechezkat, Bnei Mishpacha, Kaimi. Wait a minute. Your whole premise here is that the Yorshim are holding the possessions of the property, and the Lukuchot, the buyers here, are trying to extract the possessions from them. They bought the property, now they want to go get their property. And who's Mukzak in it? The Bnei Mishpacha. So if they were Mukzak in it, you got to bring Edim to prove that point. And that the Lukuchot are coming and tried to extract the property. It's the other way around. The sale already went through, and the Lukuchot already had possession of the property. They're the ones in Mukhzak in the property. And the case is this way. The Ka'atu b'nei Mishpacha, right? That the Mishpacha, the Yorshim themselves are Ka'atu b'kamarare, and they're the ones questioning the validity of the sale. So if they're questioning the validity of the sale, now we understand why they want to exhume the body, because the only evidence they have, the Kiyum Ashtar is not going to help them, because they want to invalidate the Shtar. They want to invalidate the Shtar. The only way to invalidate it is to show that he was a Katan. So now it says, if it's the B'nei Mishchal Kamaru, Halchanami Mistavro, that makes sense. Mid Kamalu, Iatem, Hashem Lenavlo, Vishtiku. That makes a lot of sense, because if Rabbi Kiva says to them, you're not allowed to do this to the body, you're not allowed to exhume the body for simply for evidence over here, because that's inappropriate, and then they were silent. If you say that it was the family that was questioning over here, going to Rabbi Kiva and say, let's exhume the body, therefore they were silent afterwards. They say, oh, that's our brother, right? It's a part of our family. And Rabbi Kiva says, it's menuval, it's not appropriate to take the body out, exhume the body, all right. So then we have to back away. If you say that the question here, that's the mishpacha holding the property, the kuchot are trying to extract it, why are they being silent over here? We paid for the property already. The navel and the navel. Who cares? Take the body out. I mean, that they're not going to be concerned about the kavod of the body or being menavel the body. It's not there. And all they're concerned about is getting the transaction done, meaning finishing up the transaction. They gave money. This person made some claims to them that he was able to sell the property. Now they want to go through, either have the transaction be upheld or get their money back. More likely that they want the transaction to go through. And therefore, they're going to be willing to exhume the body. And if you say it's not the kavod for the body to exhume it, they'll say, too bad, take him out. When it's the family, we can understand it would be inappropriate and they have concern about being menavel the body, so they backed away. But if it's the kuchot, why don't they insist on taking the body out? So when it says, Ibn Shumha, lo iria. If that's your reasoning, I wouldn't have said that. Why? Achikam alohu. He's saying to the kuchot, chado. Number one, diatem rashem lenavlo. First of all, you're not allowed to exhume the body because it's menuval. It's not kavod for the body. If you say, listen, he took the money, it's his problem. He took the money without giving us good evidence that he was allowed to sell it. So now we're going to take him out. Too bad. Take the body out. Nevertheless, right, the simanim change after mitah. And even if you exhume the body, you're not going to gain anything by doing exhuming the body. So don't bother exhuming the body. So Rabbi Yochanan's question to Reish Lakish based on the case of Bnei Brak was, it sounded like we needed Edim over here. Reish Lakish comes back and says, no, you misunderstood the case. The case is not about a case where the Bnei Mishpacha, the family, has the property and the Kuchot are trying to remove the property. Because I agree with you, then it would sound a little strange that they wanted to exhume the body, because they really all have to do is mekayim the shtar. The case here is the other way around. It's a case where the property is already sitting with the buyers, and now the children, the Yorshim, want to come back and question the validity of the sale. The only thing they can do in questioning the validity of the sale, being mekayim the shtar, they can't do. The shtar would obligate them to give the property over. The only thing they can do to be opposed to this is prove that he was a katan. So either they have to bring a dim or they have to exhume the body. That's the only two ways that they could actually prove the fact that it was a that it was, he was a katan when he transactioned the property. So that's how Reish Lakish says, that's a unique case. That unique case, I agree with you, that the only way they can do it is with Edim. So I would agree to you. That's why they were talking about Edim, that's why they're talking about exhuming the body. On the other hand, in a normal case, where a recipient, or the creditor of a shtar, where he's the one who's going to get the property, in that case, all he has to do is validate the shtar. Okay, now, next case, Shaul Rabbi Shimon Galakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Now Reish Lakish asks a question of Rabbi Yochanan. What are you going to do the way that this Mishnah that is documented in the Mishnah Bar Kapara, right? And he was eating in a field. He had some sort of rights in the field, and he was eating in the field. And all along, he's going along and eating from the field, assuming that it was his, and with the chazaka that it belonged to him. One person comes along and says, listen, it's not your property. Lomar shalihi. He says, it's mine. V'otzi zet ono. And sure enough, the person who's eating from the property goes ahead and takes out the contract and says, Lomar shemichar tayali. You sold it to me. Oshinatatali b'matara. You gave it to me as a gift. It's true, at one point it was yours. But here's the shtar that says that you sold it to me. Or here's the shtar that you give it to me as a gift. Imamar inu makir b'shtar zemi olam. If he says, listen, I never seen this shtar before. I don't know what you're talking about. It's kayim ha-shtar b'chotmav. Then you go along and find the signatories to the document. And you say, validate the shtar. Imamar shtar pasimu ze o shtar amana. If on the other hand, he makes a claim over here that it's a shtar pasim. So he says, listen, I wrote you the shtar to sell the property to you, not because I really sold the property to you, but because you wanted to show that you were wealthy or rich, so you wanted to present a certain image. So I did you a favor. I wrote a shtar that I sold you the property in order that it looks like you have that you're wealthy or that you have lots of property. Or shtar mana is a case where you granted the property, but you didn't pay the money. That it was a shtar with belief in it. I mean, it was dependent on the buyer paying the money at a later date. And over here, he gave the property and wrote the shtar before the money's exchanged hands. So here, the seller or the grantor of the gift is saying, listen, there are questions about the shtar. I agree with you the shtar was written, but I'm saying that the shtar is invalid. Because when I wrote the shtar was either because I wanted to give you a good image, or the shtar was written because I believed that you would pay the money. And here you didn't pay the money. So if he does that, shmachar tuich. If there are edim, let's follow edim. If not, then the shtar will be the one that dictates. So you see over here that in the second part, in the ratio of the Mishnah, right? It's if he agrees that there's a shtar, then itkayim shtar b'chutmav. Then get edim to the fact that the shtar is a valid shtar, and then we will say, go ahead and take the property, keep the property. On the other hand, if there's, he says, doesn't agree to the shtar, he agrees that the shtar was written, but he then invalidates the shtar. He says, listen, it's a pesha asur, pesha hitir. We say, bring edim that it's a valid shtar. But if not, we go after the shtar. The shtar is a good shtar, and you don't have the right to come along here and all of a sudden undermine the shtar. So you see it here that we're using the shtar as valid evidence to show where the property belongs. So the raya is the shtar. That's enough. You don't need edim over here. So he says, the lema, so let us say, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Meir he, that this, according to Mishnah Bar Kapara, this is Rabbi Meir, the mar moda b'shtar shekotvo in a tzarich l'kaimo. The lo rabbanan, let's say that this Mishnah is according to Rabbi Meir, who says that whenever you have a shtar, and the writer of the shtar admits to have written the shtar, you don't need edim to validate the shtar. The shtar is considered now a valid shtar, or validated shtar. So over here, he agrees he wrote the shtar, and then he's trying to come to undermine it afterwards. We said Rabbi Meir doesn't believe you can say pesha asur, pesha hitir, by shtarot. If that's the case, he's agreeing that he sold the property, or he wrote the shtar that says he sold the property. He agrees that he wrote the shtar that says he granted it as a gift. He's just saying that there's questions about the shtar itself, but he agrees he wrote the shtar. So in that case, Rabbi Meir says, too bad, he's out of luck. That's a mekuyam, a shtar mekuyam, and it goes through. So you see from here that the raya that's demanded is just simply a raya of a shtar. So he comes back to him and says, I'm really low. Shani omer, divrei akol, modeh b'shtar shekvato, enu tzarech l'kaimo. Now I say, this goes even according to the chachamim. Because even the Chachamim agree that Modeh B'Shtar Shekel Dvorin is Tzarich L'Kayemo. That's a din that everybody agrees to. If the party who's being obligated here agrees that he wrote the shtar, then that shtar is a good shtar. Then he wants to come and say something or to invalidate the shtar, he doesn't have such a right. Once the shtar is validated, he's going to have to bring other evidence to show that the shtar is not good. His word is not going to be enough, because we don't say, Epesh Asur Hu Epesh Yitir, even according to the Chachamim. As Mara says, V'ha Michlekei Pligei, we know that they do argue, Ditznan, the Braisa that we brought before. The Braisa that we brought before, which says that when the Edim come along and say that this is a good shtar, that we signed on the shtar, but we were under duress when we signed on it, or we were ktanim when we signed on it. There we had a machokas chamim Rabbi Meir, whether the shtar is mikuyam or not. So how could you say, Dibre Akol, the shtar is mikuyam, when the chamim over there say, we know that they said that it's not a mikuyam, shtar mikuyam. So what are you going to say? And he says, no problem, I'm late. Wait a minute, that's over there when we're talking about Edim. Over there, we're talking about Edim. Edim are the ones who give validity to the shtar. Their signatures are the ones that make the shtar a shtar. So over there, the Chachamim say, if the Edim say we were pasul, then we believe them. They're the ones who are giving validity to the shtar. They're also the ones who couldn't be Oseret. So that's what the Chachamim say over there. But over here, when we're talking about a case where it's the party who wrote the shtar is saying, yes, I agree to it, but it's a pasul shtar, why are we going to believe him? Why does he have a right to undermine the shtar? He's agreeing that the shtar was written. Now he can all of a sudden come and ruin the shtar. That he's not the type of person who can do that. He's a baal dover here. He can't do that. So basically what we were saying is, if you remember before, the Gemara said that we had our Mishnah and we had this Braisa. Why do we need both of them? Gemara created Tzrichusa that says that in one place it's Edim, in one place it's the Baal Davar. And Rameir and the Chachamim hold their positions in both places. Along comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, no, that machlok is only true by the Braisa. It's only true by the Braisa in that talks about Edim. In that case, that's where the Chachamim say that Epesh Asur, Epesh Yitir. When it comes to the Baal Davar, the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Meir. And they agree to Rabbi Meir. So he says, wait a minute. If you're going to say that everybody agrees now that a shtar that was admitted to by the party who was obligated here, he cannot invalidate here. So why not? Because we don't say Malish, he doesn't have a Migo over here, Malish Shakir, but Makom Edim, Lo Amrinan. Meaning that he doesn't have a Migo, because he could have said, listen, I never, Lo Raiti Shtar Miolam, could have said that I never wrote the Shtar at all. So now when he says I did write the Shtar, but it's a possible Shtar, he should be believed with a Migo, because he had a better claim to say that he didn't know the Shtar at all. There, Rajabam points out, it's a Malish Shakir, Makom Edim. Why? Because the Shtar has Edim signed on it. Shtar has Edim signed on it, we know it's a valid Shtar. So when he comes along and says that I wrote the Shtar, we know the Shtar is written, we have it in front of us with Edim signed on it. So the mere fact that he shows up and says that it's an invalid shtar is not going to be enough of a migo, because he had to say that he's scared that the Edim will show up and say it's a valid shtar. So his only claim is to say that it's a shtar, but I wrote it for certain reasons. And number two is, we don't, in general, Edim don't sign on shtarot, fun shtarot. The guy says, I'm doing it just to show that the guy's rich. I'm doing it, and I trust him to give the money later on. Edim only signed on valid, real, good shtarot. So over here, when it's this funky type of shtar, we don't assume that Edim will sign on it. So the fact that Edim are signed on it already gives the shtar some sort of tokef. If he wants to come along now and say, I never saw the shtar at all, that's a little strange. And number two is, if he says that I wrote the shtar, but it's an invalid shtar, he doesn't have a miko, because he had to say that there are Edim on the shtar. He's got to say something that makes the shtar valid, or explain why there are Edim on such a shtar. So then, Reish Lakish comes and says, oh, Rabbi Yochanan, you really believe that Amodeh B'Shtar is a Shtar Mekuyam, and even the Chachamim agree to that, because when he's a Baal Davar, he doesn't have the right to do a Pesha Asur, a Pesha Hitir. Well, we heard from your name, Yafeh Urur B'nei Mishpacha. When the B'nei Mishpacha come and claim from the Lukuchot that he was a Katan, and they should have gotten the property back. If that's the case, then we see that you believe that it is enough for the Baal Davar to come along and question it. Here, the Bnei Mishpacha agreed that the shtar was written. They agree that their brother sold the property. They're just saying that he was invalid at the time of the shtar. And here we say we're talking about a Baal Davar, and we're believing them, because they're the Peshu Etir Peshu Asur. You said over there that they had a good claim. And nevertheless, you're claiming that the Chachamim don't agree to that position. So how could that be? Yochanan says back to him, back to Reish Lakish, Wait, I didn't say that. Ani lo amarti. Says my student Elazar said it, but I never said that. Lo amarti davar zeh me'olam. I never said anything like this. Amar Rabbi Zeira, imi chvor Rabbi Yochanan b'Rabbi Elazar tamido. Ichvor Rabbi Anai rabo. What do you mean? So now he's going to claim that he never said it, but his student Rabbi Elazar said it in his name, but it wasn't really him who said it. Well, what about, what is he going to do now? He's going to deny that he said it to his Rebbe. Why? Because Amar Rabbi Yana, Amar Rebbe. So Modeh b'shtar shekadvo tzarich l'kaimo. So Yana says in the name of Rebbe that a person who admits that they wrote the shtar, the obligated party admits that they wrote the shtar, tzarich l'kaimo. You have to validate such a shtar. V'amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe, lo mishnatenu hi. Isn't this our Mishnah? I mean, the Mishnah here in Baba Batra. Right, zu v'chamim amim l'osim mechaver alav araya. Right, so he says, in our Mishnah, we have a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. And in the Mishnah, the Chachamim say, amotzi mechaveru alav araya. In raya, elo b'kiyum shtar. Right, it says, but there is no raya except with the kiyum ha-shtar. So you see Rabbi Yochanan saying to his Rebbe, Rabbi Anai, who says that, amotzi b'shtar tzarich l'kaimo. Right, and he says, isn't that our Mishnah? Why are you quoting this? We have an explicit mission that says that. That here, the Chachamim or Meim, Motzi Mechaver Alav Araya. Why is it Motzi Mechaver Alav Araya? Because you have a shtar here. The grantor of the gift agrees it was a shtar, but he just says that it was a shchemira. And yet the Chachamim say, Motzi Mechaver Alav Araya. So that's a proof to the fact that you need to tzarich le kaimo. So here, Rabbi Yochanan is explicitly saying in the name of the Rabbanan that they believe when the Baal Davar comes and questions a contract that he is validating, that he has a right to do it. So how could you, Rabbi Yochanan, say, Divrei Akolhi? So he says, Bram, Nirim, Divrei Rabbeinu Yosef. And I think it makes sense what Rabbeinu Yosef says. Amar Rabbeinu Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Zu Divrei Chachamim. Av Rabbi Meir Omer, Modeh B'Shtar Shekadvo, Shetzarich Dekaimo. This is the position of the Chachamim, but Rabbi Meir believes that someone who is Modeh B'Shtar, the obligated party that admits in a shtar, has to validate the shtar. Ooh, what is that? That's not Rabbi Meir's opinion. We saw Rabbi Meir's opinion before, is that ain't Tzarich L'Kaimo. So it's exactly what Rabbeinu Yosef. Rabbeinu Yosef has the position of the Chachamim and the Rabbi Meir have reversed. And that's what the Gemara says, Nirin Divrei Rabbeinu Yosef. Nirin Divrei Rabbeinu Yosef here means that the positions of the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir are flipped in our Mishnah. So when they're flipped in our Mishnah, that's what Rabbi Yochanan means, Nirin Divrei Akol. So that says, my Divrei Akol means the Rabbanon, the Gabi Rabbi Meir, Divrei Akol. He says that we believe that I like the position of the Chachamim versus Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim neged Rabbi Meir. That's like Divrei Akol. And what is now the position of the Chachamim? The position of the Chachamim is a Modeh B'Shtar Shekadvo, Ein Tzarich L'Kaimo. So Rabbi Yochanan now suggests, or what we're suggesting Rabbi Yochanan, is that, not that he said Divrei Akol means that everybody agrees that Modeh B'Shtar Ein Tzarich L'Kaimo, with the positions, meaning basically that the Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir don't even argue on this position. No. What he's saying is they do argue, but the positions are reversed. And he's holding like the Chachamim that say, Ein Tzarich L'Kaimo. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, we've had a whole bunch of Mishnayot that seem to, or Breito that seem to say, V'ayit Chatznan. We have, our Mishnah here says just the opposite. Our Mishnah in Baba Batra says, V'chamim amim motzei chaveru lav araya. Gemara says, Zipuch. Flip it. That's it. Flip the opinions in our Mishnah. V'aha Tanya, don't we have a brisa in amanim lefoslo? Divi Rabbi Meir, chamim amim namanim. Then we had the brisa that talked about Edim who come and say, yes, we signed the shtar, but we were invalid Edim. And over there we saw the same machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So what do we say? The Gemara says again, Ipuch, flip the brisa. Don't, the brisa is also wrong. Flip the opinions of the brisa. V'aha Rabbi Yochanan Raya Be'idim Kamar. What are you going to do with the fact that the machlok is here between Rabbi Shlakish and Rabbi Meir about what evidence you have to bring over here? Now you're going to say that the evidence you have to bring over here is Raya Be'idim Kamar. Here Rabbi Yochanan is the one who's saying that the issue in the Mishnah is a Kiyum Shtar issue. If the issue of the Mishnah is a Kiyum Shtar issue, and the Chachamim say that Ein Tzarich L'Kaimo, that you don't have to validate it, if the obligated party admits to writing the Shtar, you don't have to do it, that means that Rabbi Yochanan says that Kiyum Shtar is enough, and the Kiyum Shtar is accomplished by the obligated party saying that I agree, that I did write this. So then what is Rabbi Yochanan come on and saying that you need Edim? What do you need Edim for? The Shtar is already Mekuyam, you don't need Edim. So he says, Gemara says, Ipuch, flip the opinions of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish is going to say that it's Kiyum, the Raya, he is Raya Be'idim, and Rabbi Yochanan is going to say he's Raya B'Shtar. So Gemara says, Lema, Lipuch Nami Teyufta. Oh, so then what are you going to say also? You want to flip the question over here. We had Eitvei Rav Yochanan the Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan asked Reish Lakish a question. So now you're going to have to say it the other way around. The Reish Lakish asked Rav Yochanan the question because they've now flipped their opinions. So why don't you have to flip that also? Mar says, lo, you don't need to flip that around. Why? Hachi kamalei Rav Yochanan the Reb Shimon ben Lakish. This is what Rav Yochanan is saying to Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Bishlo namada didi, according to me, damina raya bikum ashtar. That I think the evidence here to make the transaction go through, or the evidence that's demanded of the people here. This is the case in Bnei Brak, the argument between the Kuchot and the Bnei Mishpacha. Over there, I think that it's enough b'kiyum ashtar. Now I have understanding why the buyers went down the nechassim. They went down and took the property or the possessions. Why? They have a shtar in their hand. They go and they take the property with the shtar. So they go with the property, take the shtar. Now the Bnei Mishpacha want to take it back. They've got to bring evidence to the contrary. According to you, says that they need evidence to edim. How do you ever have it that the luchot actually took the possession of the property? Because they have no evidence. Until they show up with the edim, they have no rights to take the property. So he says, Amarle, Modina lecha bir'er b'nei mishpacha, t'la bir'erhu. He says, I agree with you that the iruur of the Bnei Mishpacha over here is not a real iruur. And therefore the Kuchot can take the property. Why can the Kuchot take the property? Because they come along and they make a claim that he was a Katanaya. He says, that's not a good claim. Why? Chazaka, ein ha'edim chotmim ashtar, elim kein aseh gadol. We have a chazaka that edim don't sign shtarot unless they know that the individual is transacting as a gadol. So since we have that, and we have a shtar in front of us right now, then the overwhelming evidence was that he transacted and he was a gadol. So we're going to give the property to the Lukuchot. Ah, the Bnei Mishpacha want to be Ma'arer. They want to be Ma'arer. Then we say, listen, all right, come and bring Edim, bring proof to that. But in a normal case, I would say that the Shtar is not Mekuyam, and the Lukuchot can't take the property without the Edim. But over here, the Kuchot are in possession of the property because we have a Chazaka that really upholds their position. The question that's being brought up by the Bnei Mishpacha is a somewhat questionable, right, Raya, because they're saying, oh, he was a Katan? A Katan, we don't assume a Katan when there's a Shtar and Edim and all these things that indicate that he was a Gadol. So if they want to be Ma'ar here, they're going to have to bring real proof, not the Kuchot. The burden of proof is really on the Bnei Mishpacha and not the Kuchot. So that's why we say before that Chachanam Yistavra, because Iyatem Rashem Lenavlo, right? Iyatem Rashem Lenavlo means that you, the family, cannot be Menavel him. So again, if we were talking about the Kuchot before, we said that doesn't make sense that when Rabbi Akiva says, don't be Menavel him, they say, okay, no problem. Well, they say, go ahead, be Menavel him. He took money from us. We should be Menavel him in order to find out what really happened over here. So we said before, that it must be that the Bnei Mishpacha are trying to take it away from the Kuchot. The Bnei Mishpacha are taking it away from the Kuchot. Rabbi Yochanan says, I can figure out a case where the Bnei Mishpacha are taking it away from the Kuchot, because the Kuchot are in possession of the property. How are they in possession of the property? They have a shtar. They have a shtar that's valid. Everybody agrees that the shtar is written. They can have the property. If the Bnei Mishpacha wants to take it, they got to bring Raya to the contrary. On the other hand, if you say that the whole Raya here has to be brought by Edim, when did the Kuchot show up with Edim, that they're in possession of the property? They never brought Edim. So it should be the Kuchot trying to remove it. And then why are they going to Rabbi Kiva to take the body and zoom the body over here? Right? And be menavel, and they say, oh, don't be menavel, and they say, no problem. No, they would have said, be menavel. So Rabbi Yitzchak has to explain the case. How is it that the Bnei Mishpacha are making a claim here, but the Kuchot, how did they ever get in possession of the property? So Rabbi Yitzchak comes along and says, I agree, Rabbi Yochanan, in a case by the Bnei Mishpacha, since their claim is not a great claim, that we let the property go to the Kuchot, and if they want to take it away from the Kuchot, they're going to have to bring the raya, the burner proof is now on the Bnei Mishpacha, and not on the Kuchot. The one thing that Tosa says that the Gemara does not address is here, we flip the entire sugya now, where Rabbi Yochanan's position changed versus Reish Lakish, and we flipped all the Mishnayot, all the Braitot, to flip the positions of Rabbi Meir and Chachamim to deal with this. The one thing we didn't deal with was this, the last part of the sugya here, in a case where Reish Lakish was challenging Rabbi Yochanan's position. And over there, the Gemara doesn't say anything. So the Tosus over here says, when Reish Lakish asked the question of Rabbi Yochanan, he says in the conclusion of the Gemara, that never happened. That sugya never took place. That questioning never took place. V'imaskana of the Gemara, we just eliminate. It's like as if we put in a eraser, and we erase everything that was written until this point in time, because It doesn't make sense. Now, in the flow of the Gemara, based on the positions of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, now, all of that questioning doesn't make sense. Just shows you, it comes to show you that sometimes when the Gemara says two people are talking, it may not be that they're really talking. It might be that the Gemara is saying that this would have been the conversation between these two positions. Once we get evidence to the contrary that this is not their opinions, then we drop that whole scenario or that case over here. Now, the Reshbam, in conclusion, says, the conclusion of our sugya here is that a person who is modeh b'shtar does not have to be kaim k'dishmuel and k'Rabbi Yochanan, like position of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel and position now of Rabbi Yochanan. When we flip the positions of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, that would be the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shneicha eicha dihu me'arilei d'shtara, lo shneicha di'ig edim arilei. It doesn't matter whether it's the edim questioning the validity of the shtar or whether it's the Baal Davar questioning the validity of the shtar. If the Baal Davar or the edim admit that they were the signatories or they wrote the shtar is valid, and then we don't believe them. We don't say Pesha Hittir, Pesha Asur, the one who says that it's a Pesha Asur, Pesha Hittir, the one who says it's a bad, that says it's a valid contract, and then go and undermine the contract. The contract is a good contract, the Gamre. The Reed takes issue with this psak of the Reshbam, and he says, no, we don't hold here like Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, because we paskin like Rav Nachman. Because we know that Rav Nachman, any times that it comes to things like Dinim and Mamonanos, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan because he was a Dayan, and Halach is like him in Dine. And we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan says, Mode b'shtar, shkotvot, tzarich l'kaimo. That he says, you do have to be kaim such a shtar. So even though here Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel are holding that you do not have to be kaim, nevertheless Rav Nachman says the opposite. When Rav Nachman says the opposite, we're going to pass an halacha like Rav Nachman. There's a machlokas in the psak here between the Rishbam and the Tosafot, whether we follow Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel here, or do we follow the position of Rav Nachman. Okay, we'll stop over here.